How do you do, everyone? This is John Nesbitt for another chapter in this year's edition of our Passing Parade, and with the yarn so unusual this time that I have never believed it true until recent months, and this is the clue to our review on today's Passing Parade. Watching the procession once more, here is a story that has been in the files for some time, kept there on the grounds that it contained something that was too fanciful to make the report authentic. Consider it. This adventure of a middle-aged New England woman, whose name was Miss Elizabeth Woodcock. She was looked upon, no doubt, as the biggest liar in seven counties, or else crazy as a loon. For this is what her story was, that she had once been buried alive, that she had remained buried for 5 days in a kind of death-like trance, had returned to life, and a month later was not only perfectly well, but felt better than she ever had. How do you like that for a hair-raising piece of nonsense? Well, at last, I believe it, and I think it really happened. Miss Woodcock's story was that many years before, she had done a foolish thing on her farm in Massachusetts. She had saddled a horse and gone for a ride to town and back, through the woods near her farm, at a time when a midwinter blizzard was on its way. She was fond of horses, and she loved to ride, and during a particularly harsh November and December, she had been obliged to keep her horse in the barn, where he was growing fat and lazy on too much food and no exercise. So 3 days after Christmas, while all New England lay under a white, thin blanket of snow, Miss Woodcock decided that winter or not, she was going to go out riding. The weather was sunny in the morning, but a lead-colored line lay against the horizon to the windward, with plenty more of snow behind it. This cheerful, healthy woman took a look at that distant storm line and laughed and went out to her barn and saddled up the horse, and she had a very pleasant ride. But the storm caught her 10 minutes later. She turned her horse off the trails, and she began to cut across plowed fields. That she was in danger, she only realized when she had to dismount at one wall and lead her horse along it to find a gate and pass through. The snow was now so thick that she couldn't see 20 feet ahead, and she feared to jump her horse into a possibly frozen area on the other side of the wall. It took her 20 minutes to feel her way along the stone wall, and as she did so, slipping and falling, shoving aside the cottony drift of snow that was mounting up in the dips and gullies, it gradually dawned upon her that you take your life in your hands when you attempt to cross open country during the height of a blizzard. Miss Woodcock, after the first 150 yards, was very tired. She rested a few moments, snuffling back against the wet, icy side of her horse, gasping for breath, and beginning to fight against a feeling of terror. It takes time to realize what a heavy snowstorm can do. Miss Woodcock did realize when she at last reached the gate in the wall and spent 10 minutes digging it out and pulling her horse through. Not 50 feet the other side of the gate, the horse reared and spun, its eyes half blinded from the stinging cold wind and bits of sleet, and when she regained control of the animal, Miss Woodcock had lost all sense of direction. Now she began to fight grimly to live. As the horse became completely unmanageable, she slipped down from his back, gave him a cut with her riding crop, and let him go. The horse turned and plunged away, heading right back for a hollow by the trees where he could get out of the wind. Miss Woodcock gathered her strength and her courage and wallowed forward again, reminding herself over and over that her warm fireside was so close that had anyone been in the house, she might have called to them from where she struggled. She made it for 100 yards. Then she leaned heavily to the side, resting against the snow, gasping again and praying that her direction was right. A warm and pleasant sensation wrapped itself around her legs. Not more than 30 yards further stood the gate to her own house. Had she reached it, she could easily have located the driveway and been inside the house laughing over the incident a minute later. But she did not reach her gate. A few paces outside, she rested again. The drowsiness caused her head to spin. The wonderful warmth and happiness flooded her body, and she fell asleep. As she became unconscious, she slowly and gently slipped down through the soft, fresh snow like a log sinking through quicksand. She entered the deepest slumber of her life, and within 2 hours, when the snow abruptly stopped, the snow above her was as smooth as icing on a birthday cake. Miss Woodcock's body was not found for 5 days, but when it was located at last and taken to the town emergency clinic, it was found to be alive. Well, that's the tall story that I wouldn't believe about the adventure of Miss Woodcock. But it seems that it happened, and after a moment's pause, I'll come to her own description of the 5 days of death that was not death in the passing parade. This is John Nesbitt watching our review of Human Adventure again. When the body of Miss Elizabeth Woodcock of Massachusetts was thawed out after 5 days beneath the snow and found to contain life, nobody believed it. Nobody believed it when, after body temperature reached normal, she calmly began to tell her story. The doctor and those who had found her body believed that they had been the victims of a hoax, or else that she had become frozen just an hour or two before the discovery. But Miss Woodcock said otherwise. She had at first, she said, a sensation of great comfort and joy. She knew that she was dying of cold, but she stopped fighting against it with her body. She partly accepted her fate, and this happens to be a common experience reported by people who have traveled to the outer gate of death and returned. At first, in dying, there seems to come a sense of relief and comfort, a wonderful freedom from the terrors and cares of life, and a willingness to drop the burden and sink into the deep peace of the unknown. Then, in these rare cases of people who have fought back from death, comes the dim awareness that it is not right for them to die. It is not right for them to accept this warm, final slumber, and that something must be done about it. Miss Woodcock went through precisely this stage. After what she believed to be not more than a few minutes of unconsciousness after first sinking into the snow, she seemed to feel, she said, that her legs were lifting up, rising, as if they were beginning to float, first the feet, then the legs, and finally her thighs. And without knowing why, she began to resist this sensation. Although she did not actually stir her body a fraction of an inch, with her mind, she began to will that floating sensation to stop. As she did so, the marvelous lightness of weight began to pass away, and the lower portion of her body seemed to settle down again. She repeated this process several times, now fighting desperately in her mind for life. Although giving up was tempting and beautiful at every instant. Then the darkness returned. When she next awakened, she was deep under the snow, but the sound of horses neighing nearby was perfectly clear. She heard a heavy wagon and team fighting along the farm road a quarter of a mile down the hill. She heard the click of shovels as gangs of farmers worked at clearing snow to open the roads. She heard laughter, and once she heard a voice, which sounded quite close by, say, "Why, this here gate between my fields and Miss Woodcock's is open, and I remember clearly latching it not 2 days ago." Then the darkness returned to the mind of this woman, which was locked in a rigid, frozen body. It may have been the next night, more than 30 hours after she'd become buried alive in the snow, that a second period of wakefulness returned. Now, said Miss Woodcock, she realized clearly the whole situation, but she remained perfectly comfortable. She now fought for movement, and she managed to get her left arm, which was highest, in motion. She pulled a handkerchief out of her breast pocket and shoved it to the top of the snow. It was a bright-colored handkerchief, but no one saw it. There came another cycle of darkness. How long this one lasted may be estimated by the fact that it was Wednesday evening when the accident occurred, and that with her next period of consciousness, Miss Woodcock heard church bells ringing. They were the steeple bells of the village church, 3 miles away, ringing Sunday morning services. She took a strange comfort in this sound, for now she was resigned to her fate, and the marvelous sense of mental happiness and clarity of thought remained with every moment. On the fifth day, she awakened for the final time. And this time, she began to suffer, that is, suffer physically, for the snow about her was beginning to thaw. And on the seventh day, after another period of unconsciousness, I presume, she was found at last. She was taken to the village clinic where her marvelous recovery occurred. And there you have it. Now, the reason I've come to accept this report as true is that the freezing experiments carried on in laboratories have proved that it is quite possible to duplicate her feat for many hours at least. Animals have been frozen for weeks and come out none the worse for their experience. And in some forms of treatment of insanity, the patients are carefully frozen, a treatment which causes no pain, but only the same curious sense of comfort reported by Miss Woodcock. In several insanity cases, I understand that this freezing treatment has produced great and promising mental cures. So I have moved the old New England tall tale about Elizabeth Woodcock and her living burial from the file of whoppers and legends and placed it in the file of true human adventure today. We'll come back in a moment with a final word to close this chapter of The Passing Parade. As a footnote for today's review, I once discussed the case of Elizabeth Woodcock with our family doctor, who stated that so far as he knew, it was a medical impossibility. His idea was that Miss Woodcock was probably never actually frozen at all, that was impossible, but she was covered by the snow in such a way as to retain most of her body heat, in the same way as do the Alaskan sled dogs, who, as we know, burrow into the snow to sleep at night. Well, there at least you have both sides of an interesting yarn. My time is up. This is John Nesbitt bidding a goodbye till we meet again.